sit up, huh?
Yeah.
Why must sit up?
So, yeah, we put this stuff on so that we have some record of the whole thing, what is it that we are going to say. And the whole idea here is, just also put the lapel on.
Yep.
So whole idea of this meeting is that it's not me who will be talking all the time. So,
what
that would be a boring. That would be definitely a boring meeting.
So Joel is going to talk.
I'm going to listen.
So the reason why we got together is that it's about the time to make sure that when Petr leaves us, I'm afraid it may happen. Right? I mean, he didn't change your mind yet.
I couldn't.
Or your girlfriend didn't change your mind.
I would like to change, but I
can't. So that whatever he's been doing is not forgotten, and then people can stay on his shoulders. And I hope that he won't get out of this problem. But still, we need to continue on this.
Yeah.
So I think that Joel is my main hope that he's going to pick up the keyword spotting and some of these ideas. And also the reason why Petr Motlíček is here is that Joel is also getting interested in all models of temporal envelope.
Yeah,
and of course Petr Fosek knows a lot about it, but
Motlíček
too. Well, also
from different
but you will be
view,
here and from different point of view. Petr
Motlíček
is working mainly on speech coding. So this is, I guess this is it. So I guess that really you should be talking more than anybody else because you should be asking questions.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
And so what is it that you need to know? And
maybe just tell us what you know already about, I don't know, how far you are with this.
Yeah.
Features or?
So basically I started reading about the features that's taking the long temporal and time frame. It's traps.
Yeah.
And tandem approach.
So he knows.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So then I also started with there was a paper on fitting an AR model to the DCT of a signal. Started with that and slowly getting used to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the DCT?
Yeah.
That's what
Christoph
is
doing.
To the Hilbert
and
Hope, you mean, no?
The paper by Dan
right.
Ellis and
how it started, basically, because that was Mario Satineos, and then Alice.
Yeah.
They had a paper, I believe it was not even, I guess, ASRU or something, right? It was ASRU. But that was the time when they weren't using very long segments.
Yeah, okay.
It was like 50 milliseconds or something that they were playing with at the time. And, so then the story was that then Mario's presented that at some meeting, and we realized, oh, that might be a cute thing for estimating spectral energies because that's what we want, and the way we are doing it is kind of, I think it works, but it's a little bit inelegant, and somehow stupid. So first do the frame by based estimate, and then you get stick to 100 hertz sampling, 10 millisecond sampling, or something, and then you just pick up the trajectory. So Marios was here for half a year, also maybe, or even more, and started work with Petr. Just came, so they were working a little bit together. Mainly, Marios was programming in MATLAB, and Petr was putting it into.
Yeah, I just rewrote it in the C++. I didn't do too much on it.
But then we were hoping to pick up on that a little bit more, and we did, right? You did a little bit of work.
Well, we tried. There are many knobs to tune on that because you can decide what compression factor and everything. So I tried a little bit, like pick maybe three knobs and try to go through the 3D cage to see what happens in which kind of settings.
Mm-hmm.
So this we did, but.
And we never published that anywhere, right?
We didn't, because there was still a question that I don't remember right now. Because there was some essential question. I don't remember. I would have to look at it. And because before we could write anything, I would have to be sure that something is right there. And I couldn't be sure about it at the time, so. And anyway, it takes time, this computation. It's very inefficient. It takes like 100 times more than computing some MFCCs computing these features, because it's a huge DCT, huge FFT everywhere.
We were also doing a silly thing that we were stepping it by 10 milliseconds, right? At the time.
Yeah. There was no optimization. We just stick to the trap. We wanted to make as close to trap as possible, which is silly, but that you have
that
to start somewhere.
Never start, yeah.
So then I continued with another papers that you're mentioning, at P-trap. So just moving around with that ideas. And also the main idea today why I told maybe is like if you can list down what all things are there to be taken care of, then one by one, because finally if I find that you have something else, maybe to list down the things other than the what I have already taken from you.
Okay.
And also to discuss generally.
So well, last time we were talking about Gaussians, you have the Gaussians running somehow, like feature extraction.
Yeah, feature extraction.
And the
tandem training
also. So you are able to train the net now.
So you may be the only one in the whole world now, because Qifang is gone and. And Barry is gone. So Morgan was joking.
They are gone from ICSI?
Nobody from they are gone from ICSI. Qifang went to TI, and Barry is at Lawrence Livermore Lab. He basically got a job. He graduated, and he'll be working on things which he cannot talk about. He can't even say it on the microphone here. it's classified more typically. And so Morgan was only half joking. He was somebody was asking him, you were, or somebody was asking him something. There was Matthew, and he said, "Well, probably we'll be coming to ask you because nobody really knows anymore at ICSI." So please take.
Who is the one who is now developing the QuickNet and these things, the MLP4 and these things?
Well, nobody. That was Barry, and now it's closest
it
to actually Brno is doing a lot of that. Now they picked up the software and they play with these four-layer nets. So it might be that Brno will be soon an ultimate expert on.
Well, still, we have the experts who made the software run here, you know, Olivier Bornand.
Which software? No,
QuickNet.
QuickNet was done, QuickNet itself was done actually a long time ago
at
ICSI.
Olivier make it run on these machines and make the cross the 2G barrier here at IDEA because we couldn't do something, I don't know what, but he is now good in QuickNet.
Okay,
we
have to treat him well.
So now I have the feature extraction part where I can get the phoneme posteriors generated through the neural net.
Great.
So then I think
you
I
just missed the backend, which
is
easy because it's HDK.
Yeah.
It's everyone knows.
HDK through for some other task I have run HDK. So
okay.
I have the general feel, but maybe I can take the entire setup from you and run it once on my this thing to have.
Yeah. Okay. And you just need from us to hear. What are the other front ends and other features to choose something?
Yeah, basically. So then I think I can share what I have read.
Well, the whole idea then is that you start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
And you.
Yes.
Yeah. And.
Okay. So how do we do it? should I list it or?
Maybe that might be the.
First is the feature extraction that we have already taken. Then the backend for that.
Yeah.
Then
well,
like
I distinguish between feature extraction and then the MLP because you feed something to the MLP which are not the waves.
Okay.
So well, that's what I call it, and then the backend.
Yeah.
But okay, well, so what I have here, what I've been working on since I was here was MFC CPLP, which is always needed for compression purposes.
Yeah.
Then traps with Warrior's Lens, and also you know traps now.
Yeah, traps I know, but with various.
With Warrior's Lens.
Okay, lens.
We were trying to start from the ultimate lens of one frame up to 1 second or even more, but it was. So this, also, then we applied the DCT on the trap itself. Which is something like the Gaussians, applying some filtering basically the trap. So this is mainly Fanta who was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is related to traps. I was also trying the warping.
Okay.
Means if you have a second, which is 101 samples, I was just keeping the central 10 samples, and then I was throwing away some of them, you know, like resampling this 1 second of the trap to something which I preserved all the points in the center and just picked every 10th point at the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
which means the trap 101 trap trajectory shrink to say 15 points,
okay.
with still preserving the maximum resolution at the center and throwing away most of the points near the boundary. So this I was trying. So this I have some results on. So these are traps, then the Gauss traps.
Okay.
Then tandem system.
Okay.
The tandem you plus minus have because that's just the PLPs.
Okay.
And then there is a training with MLP.
Okay.
It's taking some context of these PLP coefficients.
Uh-huh.
So it's like feeding PLPs or MFCs,
mm-hmm.
whatever, to MLP and taking some context. This is the tandem. So this setup we also have here.
Okay.
I didn't experiment with this, but maybe some more results. It's Hemant who has the results on tandem, I guess, no?
He used to have before he lost all
the data. That's right. Yeah, but
he will have it again.
We shouldn't smile.
I think the most important results are already in the thesis he's writing. Uh-huh. So it's there somewhere. So this is tandem. Then what? And then there is the FDLP. Then we can talk more about.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I have more experiments on.
Yeah.
Also this warping and compressions and all these things.
Right.
So
compression, basically, you are looking at.
Yeah, but I'm using that for a different reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's speech coding.
Okay.
So what is the task is usually just take the speech, of course, somehow to encode it into as small number of bits as possible and with a reasonable quality, of course, and again to decode it.
Okay.
And I'm using FDLP
mm-hmm.
for that. Still playing with more or less 1 second long segment,
uh-huh.
so just dividing the speech into 1 second frames.
Okay.
Doing DCT,
uh-huh.
it's just the standard work, and then doing some compression and computation.
So subbands, no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you're doing the same, no?
Well, yeah. But you just didn't talk about.
Yeah,
the
you take the DCT
far.
And
okay.
you just divide it into several subbands, frequency
mm-hmm.
bands, with a different.
And by the way, you don't do the overlap on the subbands, no?
No, you do.
Yeah,
you but you don't do the overlap on the time domain. You
no,
say
no.
Yeah.
I don't do.
Okay,
you
so that's the difference.
For compression, you're basically doing.
Yeah, just 1 second without overlapping. But in frequency domain, there is a overlap because you can choose which filters you want,
yeah.
more or less, or just trajectories of those bands. So there is overlapping. I'm using those Gaussian filters or classical, there's those trapezoidal,
mm-hmm.
like in MFCCs,
mm-hmm.
right? And then processing
PLPs.
Each. Yeah, PLP.
MFCC are triangles.
Okay, triangles, that one. Then I'm doing independent processing of each frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm computing that Hilbert envelope,
okay.
which is just the envelope of some temporal trajectory. And more or less you can divide this into a Hilbert envelope, Hilbert carrier, which is something like LP, a linear prediction envelope,
mm-hmm.
autoregressive model, and excitation signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are two parts or items you need somehow to encode if you
okay.
want again to get original speech or
mm-hmm.
reasonable quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is some compression factor, which is again when you're computing that autoregressive model
mm-hmm.
from FDLP, you can compress the spectrum somehow in such a way that you rather preserve those even also those dips, not only peaks.
Mm-hmm.
In the spectrum,
okay.
and it sounds better for some kind of.
So you know about this compression? How
yeah.
is it? Why it's okay?
Yeah.
I just
knows more than I do.
he's new. He's doing most of the things.
So it's
good.
Kind of logarithm when you use logarithm for MSCCs, right?
Yeah.
So it's again a compression factor, something like that. And but then you have to uncompress it again,
mm-hmm.
of course, to get back the speech. And there are other things which
okay.
I'm doing,
so
but it's not related to speech recognition so much.
But
yeah,
certainly when it comes to like the open modeling of temporal trajectories, even if Fosek is not here, you probably know a lot about it by now.
Well.
What?
No, that approximating Hilbert
right,
envelope
right.
by open model.
What?
FDLP.
When
you are not here, that that
yeah, sure,
check
sure,
knows
I mean,
not
yeah,
about
sure,
it.
It's more or less the same approach, right?
Same
there is
yeah, different
yeah. More
application,
okay.
Different
right.
Different software or something.
So, just in the speech resynthesis or coding,
yeah.
What you're doing, did you try to play with the knobs somewhere? Like
with what?
Many with I don't know the compression number of bands and
yeah, yeah sure.
The
number of bands and
what you were playing with and what are the results like? What to use?
You know that's the problem for speech coding because I don't have results like in speech recognition.
Yeah,
so
of course
I have to listen
to
it
yourself.
And
I'm fine with it because.
And well, so now what I'm using are 15 bands, which seems to me, 15 frequency bands, which seems to me quite reasonable. We can go down
yeah.
till like 12 and still okay, I would say, but then you start hearing difference.
Okay.
Or also, that's another problem. Once you can go down with frequency bands, then you will have much more complicated that, let's say, excitation signal or that carrier.
If you go down?
Yeah,
if
because...
If you make a broader bands.
Broader bands,
because
right.
when the band is narrow, the excitation is close, the carrier is close to sinusoid, basically.
Yeah, like that. So there is more and more frequency components, let's say, or something like that, in one broadcast.
So you want to say that the LPC is not able to fit it so that the residual was
no, LPC
easy.
Will maybe, but then you have still another part, something like a source and a filter. So when you are doing speech coding or...
You may almost want to use the whiteboard, I mean,
yeah.
And that's why we have it here, right?
Why?
So that...
So can you remove this when you're going to this place?
I don't think so.
No, we are...
I mean, it's the same like when you are doing LP synthesis, right? So you've got source signal, I don't know, source.
I think you have to push it as much as possible because
yeah.
it reacts to the...
And then there is some filter, which is that 1 divided by AZ. And that's it. And the source can be a noise signal or it can be some sequence of... what is that?
Pulses,
right?
This is
yeah.
This is a standard time domain,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's more or less the same what I'm doing. So this is some... envelope, which is in our case related to Hilbert envelope, and this is a source signal, which is Hilbert carrier.
But since you are in a different domain, this is here you are in time domain, right? But
right.
But you are really in a frequency domain, so the lines turn into signs, right?
Right.
And
which
you
line?
Exactly.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
I
is
mean,
now going to be
because
frequency.
This spectrum is also line spectrum, right? I mean all components. So. If you are in a frequency, your source looks like this.
Yeah, so more or less if we can plot it. So what we can see is some Hilbert envelope like this. And then there is that Hilbert carrier. Or this is not Hilbert carrier, but this is the signal which we get from one frequency band. So you compute DCT, right? From
this
signal.
Is the subband
exactly.
time signal.
Right.
And what we get from that is this Hilbert envelope. Right.
So you know that.
And
yeah.
the second, which should be that carrier, should be something like this. It's just really close to cosine, you might see.
Okay.
If you do it properly, right? And this is what you also have to somehow transmit, or at least try to transmit in order to get...
This is
I was thinking the residual in LPC fit of the Hilbert envelope, not this. I was not thinking of this at all before. You know.
Right, right.
Because there are three things. First, you have to encode this, then the LPC coefficients,
right.
and the residual of the LPC fit,
no, I
if
don't
you
need
like.
LPC. No,
this
no,
is like a residue for him.
This is a residual for
yeah.
me.
In the for
this
frequency.
Is the residual.
Yeah, I just want to transmit this signal, right? It's
yeah.
And what you need is
well
this envelope and this one carrier, and you again get the same signal. This shape.
Okay.
Doing
yeah.
IDCT.
Yeah.
And the
yeah,
biggest problem currently is that the carrier is actually not cosine, but
right,
something a little bit more.
For example, for
interesting.
If you have a very
good music signal, which is very periodic. You can really see something like there is one peak.
And if the frequency doesn't change over the over the length of the
doesn't change. It's related to
yeah.
That frequency of the broadband or
yeah.
If you have those filters
nice.
Which are
yeah.
Wider and wider, this is that center frequency, which is somehow related to this one.
Okay.
So,
so
then
so
you
so
can
so
transmit.
So the broader bands. The what on this picture?
It's worse and worse. Then you don't see any
but
anything
but
like cosine.
Fortunately, because of because of properties of hearing, more or less, for the higher bands, you if you put in just some garbage, some noise, it doesn't really matter all that much. It sounds a little bit worse, but it's not a big tragedy. Where you really, if you want to do a good voice speech, you want to get the lower bands.
And
if you put in noise all together,
everywhere.
It sounds like a whispered speech.
It
but
sounds
you understand
like
perfect.
LPC when you excited by noise.
By noise.
It's better,
yeah.
I would
yeah.
say. Better quality. Definitely better quality. It's lower bitrate, but that's a problem.
So now we have to kill them both, because, I mean, we gave all the secrets away.
Yeah.
Malcolm is going to...
So any objective measure you use for...
objective measure for some those distances, spectral distances. Well, it didn't work so properly, so well, I mean.
If Motorola or Nokia gets hold of this tape, then we are in trouble. Hopefully by then it will be protected and everything, right?
Oh, the hell, I just said that we shouldn't talk about confidential things.
It's listen, this is a science. I mean, it's
yeah.
a confidential to the extent that we are not publishing it yet, but we of course, will. But we have to make sure that
yeah.
If Qualcomm has an interest, who's funding the work, they have to have a chance to patent it or something. That's a lot of, this is not a public presentation,
right.
So this is not even a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The only problem would be if, but you know, nobody can beat Peter Motlicek anymore. I mean, if Nokia knows everything, if you sell it tomorrow, who did you work for? HP, they will take half a year before they will even realize what it is and by then. So it's not my problem. Okay, so
So there is a compromise between the lower bands, the worst stuff you just said, and the more bands, the more coefficients to transmit.
Right.
So 15 is about okay.
Yeah, yeah. Also, there are papers about it that if you have like 12 frequency bands is somehow optimal.
Okay, so this, and then there is a compression. What about
compression
that?
Is only to relate to somehow fit that Hilbert envelope to
get there.
So that you get,
yeah.
So that you can model it actually.
Yeah, yeah, you can model it better. There is no echo or something like reverberance in the signal if you really go down with that compression factor to like 0.1, something like
what?
That.
Oh,
0.1
compression.
So what is the compression factor we are getting here?
When you when you compress the effectively the what the signal which we are modeling,
right?
And so then you get a fit into compressed
signal.
Okay.
Essentially, if you were in a spectral domain, you would compress the power spectrum.
Yes.
Here you compress the what
subband power spectrum.
Yeah, the density of the signal.
Right.
Right.
And
so then your predictor is fitting actually this compressed signal, but you know how much it was compressed, so you can always expand it back, so that you get a fit to the original thing, except that the fit is different, because it basically this open modeling has a different properties.
Yeah, you just preserve something different a little bit.
Yeah.
So we can tell you a little bit more about that. This is a sort of old technique. Which
I think Hinek has good many papers or some papers about that.
It was my thesis, even PhD thesis, actually. There's no
LPC.
Sorry?
I think
LPC.
I read
it.
It
was STLP, it was called Spectral Transform Linear Prediction. It was my first ICAS paper ever. It was in 1983 Boston. You guys were still in kindergarten, right?
Right, more or less.
Oh, this is terrible. But nobody was using it for anything, except it was cute, but that was about it. But now it seems like that is since what we are doing here, we are normal LPC is fitting peaks, right?
Yes.
But when you are modeling Hilbert envelope, you don't necessarily want to fit only peaks.
Yes.
you sometimes want to get a basically good estimate of the envelope.
Okay.
So that helps you, because in this this spectral transform allows you to find the right balance between how well it fits peaks, how well it fits dips, and
right.
And sort of so this is. So I think that basically, I don't know what else, I mean, you should be asking questions, right?
Yeah.
So
one thing I wanted to know is
a
good literature on these lines.
Well,
with,
I think you can really take those papers from Marios.
Yeah.
About
yeah,
FDLP.
About
yeah,
three
papers.
That's really enough for me.
I have two.
This is SAPA or how it's called?
SAPA, and then yeah, this is
then
there are two papers. In one is in SAPA, one is in InterSpeech.
InterSpeech
in
Jeju, and one was in ASRU.
Yes.
From Virgin Islands.
What is SAPA?
SAPA was.
I don't know. I
tell you what it stands for: statistic and something perceptual approaches. I was on.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the organizing committee. I should know, but statistic and something approaches. Perceptual and statistics and perceptual approaches.
But there are also reports from IDIAP, I think. At least two reports from Marios seem to me.
But they are the same, right?
Yeah,
as
they are more.
Okay.
And
then
like
also, is there is some more work actually can be traced down. I think that the reading Les Atlases papers are very good, because Les Atlases is doing a lot of work on coding in this domain. He doesn't use Allport model, but he uses DCT, and then he. So Les is excellent guy. He's a very good very good theoretician.
Uh-huh.
Basically, he's a Stanford guy, and really he likes to write things well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's very rigorous, as opposed to me, for instance.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you read that, then you know that there are no errors.
Sometimes it's unreadable, I would say.
Yeah, but
it's quite difficult. But
so whatever you. Whatever you get hands on from Les Atlases for over past 5 years, regarding this, 2 years ago, last year, on one of the ICASPs, he had like five papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
various aspects of this, because
mm-hmm.
I think this year on InterSpeed there was one paper, but it was regarded to speech recognition.
Okay.
Somehow.
Is that so? I didn't even see it.
Yeah, yeah. It was not something like speech coding or that DCT transforms, nothing like that. So,
also I can before Marios left, he had actually left himself, but all the files are here, and also all the MATLAB implementations of this are here, and there is also one big table that he used
to fill in with all kinds of parameters.
Yeah, he was also playing with all these compression factors and lengths of the of that, and there is a big table in Excel. Which you can look
he
at.
He has all kinds of speech recognition results, right?
Yeah.
But it was the first time you start using the cluster, I remember, or some parallel
because
processing. There was a big thing here.
It took a huge amount of time. And he was the first one to realize that these guys are pretty slow to do these things.
Everybody hated him temporarily, I remember.
He just put here the PMake environment, and he didn't stick to any cluster or anything. He just put PMake and run it on all the machines here.
Uh-huh.
So at some point he was using all the available memory by any mistake, and also in the morning all the machines were just stuck. No one could ever.
I remember Frank came to me and says, if everybody was computing like Marios, we would be all dead. And I said, Frank, but I want everybody to compute like Marios.
Right.
So these results, because he was doing everything in MATLAB, so it was again 10 times more demanding than C++, and then
maybe yes, maybe not. It's hard to say.
Now
it's not so bad with that if you rewrite it well.
But he did. He wrote
and
it well.
And he did.
Anyway,
I think so.
Anyway, because in the code that I wrote, I was like playing also with if the matrix is sparse. I really don't use it all. I just multiply from here to here, from here to here, not the matrix, but my matrix, and then I just optimized it a bit, and also BLAST libraries and all these things. But Okay. No.
Whatever.
That's
not important.
Well, it is important in a way. I mean, this is something which we never talk about, right? Like how much work.
Oh yeah, sure. It is important for this
because
case,
it's true that that things sped up tremendously since I came. I mean, of course, partially because they started to buy some more hardware, but also some people basically know how to.
But there's the backend recognizer which I will give you, which is turnaround of 18 minutes or from 11 to 15 minutes. Normally it would take.
And it used to be
2 days,
yeah.
Yeah, no, not today. It was over 1 hour. It's just like 10 times less, maybe, or 5 to 10 times less. But still, you can 5 times more.
So, do you already know what is the situation with you? You go back to Prague for a while, and then did you get anything in France? I got some ideas, by the way.
I have to talk to you about this. I don't know. I didn't try to anything. I didn't even mail to Andrzej Czarnocki. I just talked to one girl there, which told me that he would be possibly able to find me a job there, any job, like related maybe to field, but job, not anything, any research.
So if nothing, then
I could be able to get a job.
So you don't die of hunger.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's not the idea. We'll try something else.
Okay.
So, Gerard, your main... Basically, thing is, as I told you when we were walking, that whatever Petr did, that it doesn't die, but it carries, and obviously, we very much hope that you get into that and you get excited and you do more and or maybe even different things.
We hope that you find out that everything was wrong and that the potential
that
is
it
much
actually
bigger.
Works.
Yeah, it actually works. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not that it doesn't work.
No, but after you find out the bug, then it will be.
Yeah.
That will be. The So we will send you the papers related, and I will point you to all the code which I have.
Yeah, but regarding this FDLP.
And this is all on the record, so if we.
You
can hold him to his word.
Yes.
Actually, I can just now tell the locations of all the files and you can rewind.
Browse through the meeting.
So.
What are we doing time wise? Yeah, I think half hour is fine, right?
Yeah.
Any more things?
But you will be here almost until end of.
Till 24.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Friday.
November.
November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart. It's just like I will just start teaching and then I'll need an assistant.
There's no better for us. Kino Franta Petr.
Yeah. It hopefully it makes a pay some extra.
What are you going to talk or to teach? It's just the perceptual
speech,
stuff.
Well, it's actually a combination of two classes I was giving at OGI, which is like speech processing and perception. And so I try to put it together so that it makes some sense.
And do you already know how many students you have?
No. I should have at least 4 because this is graduate school. I have one, right?
Oh, it's
guaranteed.
Graduate.
I have one guaranteed that I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I think Guillermo was thinking
three,
about.
I mean, 4 credits or total 4?
Sorry, I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be 4 credit or not. I don't know how much I like people without not taking it 4 credit because then they just sit there and having good time. But it's okay. No, it's okay.
Because in IAS it's 4 credits. And Guillermo is taking. I think
Guillermo is taking. Very good. Yeah, so I have already have at least 2. I probably get 4.
Well, I would like to go there, but not just for credit, just maybe to hear something new.
And it's possible, that's for sure. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah, the last time it was. For me, it was good, the course, from one special reason, because when there were the floods in Czechia, I lost all my papers from my school, all the exercise books.
Mm-hmm.
how to say this?
Yeah, the notebooks.
All the notepads and everything. All notes from any courses. So I was remembering what I was learned, what I was taught at the time. So I have it now back, at least partially. Because all the algorithms you were speaking about.
I didn't get into too many things, actually. You know, the reason was that at the time we thought, I was teaching with Hervé, and we thought we have much more time. And suddenly we ran out of time, basically, because what happened was that it was supposed to be 3-hour lecture, it was only 2-hour lecture. And Hervé assumed that it's going to run longer, or I don't know what he assumed. But suddenly he said, so where are you? I said, well, I'm just slowly getting into LPC. He said, why, but we have only 3 more lectures. I have to teach HMM and everything. So the LPC part was like I had to do it in 1 hour. And then everybody was totally confused, I guess.
Also in the labs, the people didn't know anything about it, and they just followed the papers.
Where was this?
It was a DBFL. Okay, guys, I think that unless somebody has still anything incredibly important.
Not to this topic.
Yeah, but I can come to.
Right, it's a little bit up to you. You have to bug this people, especially Peter, because. Just to make sure that.
Yeah, but anyway, after I'm back, I'll be still on Skype and all these things, so
okay.
No problem to contact me until, I don't know, May next year. So.
Do you think that it will be done by May? Is it planned?
Well, I would like to. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, we made a mistake, I tell you. I think if I had to do it again, we made a mistake. We should have registered you here at EPFL. You would have had a degree by now from EPFL. Yeah, it was a mistake.
But I would have to study here for that long time, no?
3 years. You were here. How long you were here? 2 years?
Two years, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to stay one more.
Well,
well, it would be good reason for Petra, is that I have to stay here.
Right.
Too busy.
So is she getting another position there, or what is that?
Yeah, because.
Boy, you know, what
a
boyfriend.
She has a good
there.
Position because she has a. Friend who is starting a lab there, and everything
so
is
good.
It's a great opportunity for her, at least.
Yeah.
But the problem is that then she will go back, and there's a family issues and things. For a girl, it's always the pain because she has to break for some time, at least a little, but has to break. And in the science, it's not that easy. To break.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So in case I need something on this DLP, I'll come to you.
Oh, sure.
Otherwise, I'm also much more available than I was. I mean, when you came, it was just like one of the craziest times of this year. It's not that I was very productive, that I was doing anything useful, but it's just like, it's a little bit like writing thesis all the time, rewriting and make little changes.
Yeah, but I think definitely you are the best person here related to availability of you. Because if I want to go to Hervé, I probably call secretary, he's there.
And
he
has many more people to take care of. Yeah.
There was no. Every time I came to you, you were available.
Typically, I try to be because you know, I mean, this is also my livelihood, right, students? So I have to make sure that they need to know something. So feel free, basically, to stop by anytime.
Yeah.
It's not that I know everything, but if I know. I think I sort of know a little bit like what you guys were doing, right?
I think so.
But not every detail.
You know the core, which we don't remember anymore while programming.
You don't know why you are doing it.
We know the details, and you know what is
the why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Good question. Sometime
ask my boss.
Okay, I think my mic is falling, so I think we go, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oops, I have to take this off. I see. Okay, well, I hope that it was long enough. Yeah?
Stefan, you never did see any of the
same things.
On the
stars.
Je to se na ty puntíky. A ty budou určitě natisklý nějaké special tam.
Musíme jít.